Good stuff, Boston. I think we got another question up there.
All right, right here in front.
How do you get the smoke out of the back of your jets?
Well, that's a great question for Mo.
All right, so our smoke system is actually mounted where the gun would usually mount. It's a 90-gallon smoke tank, and we've plumbed the hoses all the way from the smoke tank to the exhaust. And they just turn the switch on, and it dumps oil into the exhaust, and the heat of the exhaust turns it to smoke.
Pretty cool stuff. All right, we got one right over here.
I understand that you guys don't wear G suits, so how many do you usually pull during a show, and how do you handle it?
Bob, you want to take that
one?
Yeah,
I got it. So how many Gs do we pull? The F-18 is typically limited to about 7.5 Gs in the positive and about -3 in the negative direction. So we typically have no more than about a 10.5 G swing. However, late into the show, when we get lighter on gas, we'll get closer to about 8 Gs as we end the show and come back into the break. Did that answer all your questions there? How do you do it without a G suit? So we do quite a bit of working out with our legs and core. So raise your hand if you've heard of the anti-G straining maneuver. Anybody? Yeah, so a few of you. So if you guys are sitting, everybody's sitting right now, I think. I can hardly see out there. But so if you guys squeeze your legs together and drive your heels down into the ground and then plank your abs and do that while you're flying the whole time, that'll pretty much keep you awake for for a little bit of the time while you're up there with us. But we do that anytime we're over 3 to 4 Gs. Our resting G tolerance for the majority of us up here is around 4, maybe just a little bit higher depending on the day and the hydration level. But that's what we do to stay awake without that G suit on.
All right, good question. We got another one up front.
This is another. Before we go on in Fat Hour, yes, we just go like this. That's 2 Gs.
Another question for the maintenance officer. I noticed last night after practice, one of your ships, I believe it was the two-seater, broke into a hard G turn, full afterburner, except that I believe the left engine didn't light. She said some. Share with us what happened.
So Bob can probably answer this as well, but when they don't go into the right AB left AB, because that makes the smoke go away. So a lot of the G turns will just go in the right AB, so the smoke stays out the back.
Good question.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Just a question for your maintenance. What is the maintenance hours per flight hours average for the F-18 Blue Angels?
So it changes month to month. So these jets are obviously, they're anywhere from 28 to 30 years old. We track that very well, but it just depends on actually, like right now we're accepting 3 jets, so our maintenance man hour per flight hour is going to be a lot higher. But normal, it's about 8 man hours per flight hour.
All right, good stuff. We got a question back here.
Have you ever blacked out temporarily from exercise flight?
Could you repeat that, Joe?
He asked if any of you have ever blacked out while flying.
I've blacked out in the back seat, if that means anything.
I blacked out too, so it's tough. All right, we got another one?
Yeah. Have there been, or when do you predict there'll be, a female Blue Angel or Fat Albert?
I think I heard the question. I can take that as, when will we have another female Blue Angel, is that correct? Yeah, that's a great question. So we had Captain Katie Higgins on the team flying Fat Albert the previous 2 seasons. And then this year we don't have any female pilots on the team or officers on the team. And it just depends if you go back to that question on the applicants, when we get the applicants in. So I think we've all flown and served with just absolutely outstanding females, both pilots, ground officers, Marines, Navy, they're out there and they're doing an incredible job, and I can tell you there's zero difference in a male versus a female pilot in terms of capabilities, zero. It's purely just based on who's interested in coming to the team, and then once we get those applicants, making sure it's a good fit. And that's the primary thing that we're looking for. We don't select based on gender at all. There are zero gender discriminants that we would ever use. It's just based on applicants. And so this year, and like the previous year, we didn't have any female applicants. But I can end on this note that I promise you it's not if, but when the first female Blue Angel is flying in the Delta, so number 1 through 6. And I know we'll keep having Blue Angels flying Fat Albert that are females.
Good question.
All right.
All right, we got something up front there, boss. Go ahead, sir, up front.
With the Legacy Hornets nearing the end of their service life and slowly being replaced by the F-35C, will the Blue Angels be looking to transition to the Super Hornets or the F-35?
No, that's a great question. We're going to transition to the Super Hornet, and that's going to happen fairly soon. A few more seasons, I think, in the Hornet. But a lot of work is being done right now to evaluate the Super Hornet. It's been flown in the demo configuration by the previous flight leader and proved to be a great demonstration aircraft. So now it's just a matter of time of getting the airplanes converted. A lot of legwork is going into that right now. And so the Airboss, the Admiral Shoemaker, has come out and stated 2019 as a goal to have the team in the Super Hornet. That's still to be determined based on a variety of factors with the airplanes and the engineering work that'll go into converting them. But it could be as soon as 2019. It could be a little bit later, but it's definitely coming.
All right, good question. We got another one up there, up front.
How do you manage your successfully manage your relationships with your significant others traveling so much?
Boy, that is a great question. Anyone want to take a stab at that?
Yeah, that's a hard question, actually. So we are typically home about one day a week, home all day, and then we practice for a couple other days during the week. You really have to prioritize your spouse, not only when you're home, but when you're on the road. You can't just detach yourself and not FaceTime or make a phone call while you're gone. So I think all of us are married up here, so every single one of us takes some time throughout the day to reach back home and make sure that our wives know what's going on, and they kind of know what our day-to-day schedule is. The majority of the time when we're out at night with each other, but we're always checking in no matter where we're at or what we're doing, and I think that helps to ease some of the fears from any spouse that would be back home 300 days a year with their husbands going out at night doing stuff. So I don't know. Fireball, you want to help out?
Yeah, you know, it's we get to bring, we get to join our families on the road at a special event like this, and that makes it all the more worthwhile. But the real heroes are those, our spouses and kids at home, that essentially we're gone for almost 300 days out of the year, and they're holding everything together. They're doing all the hard work while we're getting to go fly air shows and meet, you know, incredible people like yourselves all over the country. So really, the credit goes to them.
Good question. So, hey, Walleye, real quick, do you want to discuss what winter training is like for the Blue Angels? Got to go from day one all the way into up until we start the season. Kind of
okay.
Go over what
yeah,
winter
Joe,
training
to make
is.
Sure I understood, your questions regarding the winter training process?
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah, so I'll speak to that. The challenge we're faced on the Blue Angels is that, as we've already alluded to, everyone's here for 2, at most 3 years, and that creates a high turnover rate. That's essentially driven by our career tracks and getting our pilots and officers back into the fleet so they can serve abroad and forward deployed. What that means for us is that we have a high turnover rate. Fat Albert trains a new pilot every year. In the Delta, we're training 3 out of the 6 new pilots every year. And that means that our period of winter training, which essentially happens after the end of the last air show, we almost always do that in Pensacola. We call it our home show or our end of season show. And that's around the middle of November. We go we get one day off to relax after the season's over, and then the new team's right back at it. So they meet together, they have a giant day of getting prepped, and then flights start the very next day. And that starts in middle of November, carries on in Pensacola through Christmas, and then as a team, we fly out to Southern California and train out of Navy Air Facility El Centro, and we do, generally speaking, 15 sorties a week, 3 on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 2 on Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, in separate elements, and we'll get, generally speaking, about 120 training flights that each last about an hour to refine the maneuvers that we do and prepare the new team members for this show season. Does that answer the question, Joe?
Absolutely. Good stuff. Thank you. We got a question back here.
Good evening. My name is Mike. I have a question. How this may arise. Bird strikes, like bird encounters. Because I saw like maybe a bird or two flying nearby.
Joe, if I heard that right, it was how do we deal with bird strikes or bird encounters?
Absolutely, yeah, that was the question.
Sure, I can take that, and probably Mo will want to chime in on this too. We do see a lot of birds out there and occasionally hit them. Normally, it's not a big deal. They just bounce right off. It's probably a big deal to the bird, but it's not a big deal to us. And in fact, we work really, really hard to not react. So that's where I'm going with that is you'll see birds coming. I'll see them usually. The wingmen are looking at me, and I'll see them coming. And I won't change a thing about the profile. The last thing I want to do is duck down or move the stick in, you know, even a fraction of an inch, because that'll ripple through the formation. So we basically ignore them. And if they hit us, then normally it doesn't cause a bit of difference to the demo itself. Every once in a while, you hit a big one at high speed, and it can cause some damage to the airplane. I can let Mo talk to that.
Yeah, that's happened. Whenever I hear bird strike, I cringe, because that means most of the time, not most of the time, but there's a possibility that we might not be flying that airplane for a while. So that happened this year in Barksdale, and I put a hole in a jet, and it took us, we got to pull the wings off and get it put on a truck to truck it to a facility that can repair it, and it's going to take about 6 months to repair it. So I'm not a big fan of birds, so...